Good morning. Welcome to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Going to be a great day to get out and about and get to your locally owned, independently operated garden center and get ready. This is the first weekend of March. We told you it was coming. We tried to tell you to be prepared, and we've got some great tips for you. Plus, we're also going to be touching base with some of our local leaders down at the Cincinnati Home and Garden Show, the final weekend down at the Duke Energy Center. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Ernie. How are you?
Dandy, thanks. How about you?
Better than dandy.
Better than dandy?
Because I get to work with you early on Saturday mornings. You believe that?
Oh, you're such a smoothie. Nice of you to be so kind this early in the morning. But again, you're about five cups in.
No, only two. That's my second.
That's your second?
I'm still trying to, it seems like the more caffeine I get, it accentuates the good old cough that I don't want to get rid of. The one I want to keep at least through
this month. I have to say, that was pretty funny. Tony has had this lingering cough for a couple of weeks now. I think he said this was the 1 month anniversary, so I was joking around and told him to get that stuff out of here, get to your doctor. He goes, no. I've had it this long. I'm kind of attached to this cough.
Yeah, I am. I tell everybody at work, I love the cough. I really do. I love the cough. I'm okay with it. I don't let it aggravate me. If you can't beat them, join them. Actually, I think the caffeine accentuates it a little bit. I get a little wound up.
Yeah.
But I apologize. You know, it's been four weeks, and I'm okay with it. Yeah. I hope you're going to have to be okay with it.
It doesn't bother me. You know, I just feel for you.
What a ugly winter.
It was kind of nasty.
We're still in it.
Yeah, officially. But it's going to be lots of sunshine today, tomorrow, and even on Monday. The good news is no rain. That was just awful. But hey, reminds me to point out that our good friends down at Rabbit Hash had some good luck. Old Man River did not encroach into the newly refurbished general store, which is great news. Missed it by about a foot. So they're having a little celebration tomorrow down at Rabbit Hash at the general store with music behind the stove. It might be a little dicey trying to get into there, but just be careful. But certainly go down to the general store and tell them congratulations.
Yeah, the river is well on its way moving downward, which is good. Hopefully we don't see any rain. And it looks good from the forecast you just gave us, Al.
Yeah.
So, actually, the interesting stat is this past February was the third wettest February on record.
Yeah.
A lot of water. Oh, my gosh, a lot of water. Yeah. And we need to allow things to dry out, that's for sure.
It is going to take a while. I know an awful lot of the repair and recovery people are working overtime. A lot of people had water in their basements, a lot of flood damage. So our thoughts are with you. It can be quite the struggle. And if you look on Facebook, that's all you saw for the longest time was a picture of flood damage, water, and issues like that. And we're going to talk to a couple of people over the next several weeks about some of that. Maybe we can help you with some home repair and how to eliminate some of those problems. And I saw, you know, we had our friends from Arlinghouse in last week, Brian, and oh, my gosh, I'm losing his name right now.
Brian?
No, the other guy, Ryan.
Oh, Ryan and Brian. Ryan and Little Ruby. Yeah.
I had a brain cramp right there for a moment.
You
have Alzheimer's. I saw him post an important message about any of the furnaces that may have gotten water on them. It is best to have them inspected. So if you have that issue, if your basement got flooded and your furnace got wet, before you try to fire that baby back up, make sure you reach out.
Or you know what? Even more so important are the hot water tanks, especially those that have the pilot light. They're gas.
Yeah.
That are not electronic ignition, even electronic ignition. But boy, that's terrible. When you lose valuables and furniture and other various things because of a flood, that's awful. That's awful. I couldn't imagine. So I'm glad I'm up on a hill, you know?
Yeah.
I'm up on a hill. I'm not in one of those low-lying areas. But I do know what flooding's all about because the florist at the garden center, we've been flooded before.
Mm.
All that water from all those rich people up in Fort Wright,
mm-hmm.
it all just came down to
it us. It all just runs right to
yes,
you.
Yes, it does. No, but were, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I know what it's about, and I'm like you. It's one of those things you just have to persevere and tackle it head on.
Mm-hmm.
So what else is going on, Ernie?
Well, all of my crocuses, or I shouldn't say my, but all of our crocuses
mm-hmm.
have already popped up and bloomed and now have kind of just, you know, dropped off again. Plus, some of the daylilies or lilies are popping up just a little
mm-hmm.
bit. So we're seeing quite a bit of...
A lot of movement.
Yes.
You know, when you start getting the temperatures, the outside air temperatures start to warm up and... You know, Mother Nature just knows what she needs to do.
Yeah.
So when you see, now, most of you who are seeing a lot of activity with your bulbs, your fall bulbs, those that come up early in the spring, such as the daffodils, the tulips, the hyacinths, and, you know, the crocuses and all that other good stuff, you know, a lot of that has to do with the positioning of your home and how in relation to what direction it faces, north, south, east, or west.
Yeah.
You know, those who have shady areas, you'll notice that some of the bulbs are still relatively, you know, further behind mm-hmm. than those that get, you know, the most amount of sun. So it's kind of interesting how that all comes into play.
Yeah.
And don't do anything heroic. Just allow them to come on. You don't need to mulch those. Mother Nature can take care of herself.
Yeah. One of the things that, too, that I noticed is our magnolia tree has already got these big plump
buds
on them. And we've talked about this before. It's just so heartbreaking. We love those big blooms they have and how fragrant that is. But you know that little cold snap is coming.
Well, you know what? That's kind of par for the course with the magnolia. Especially, you know, you talk about the star magnolia, Anne or Jane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the star is one that, you know, it's one of the first early bloomers. It's the white blooming magnolia. It's more of a taller tree shrub. I was trying to say
tree shrub.
I was trying to combine tree and shrub together there.
I thought you did a great job with that.
Well, no, I didn't quite finish it. And I'm glad Tina's probably still sleeping.
Tree shrubs.
She would call me out on it. But typically, that's what happens to that particular variety is mm-hmm. that, you know, we see these beautiful white blooms, and all of a sudden we get that cold snap or a couple of nasty, hard, cold rains, and all the lovely blooms are gone.
Yeah.
And they go quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But still beautiful nonetheless.
But it really, it just, we lose that little bit of beautiful part of nature, but it doesn't affect the tree.
I think you're okay now.
Yeah.
You know, just it all depends upon the weather.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I noticed that I'm seeing a lot of magnolias. The, you know, the ones with the shiny green leaves, the southern magnolias.
Yeah.
A lot of winter burn. You know, they're brown.
Right.
And we have a magnolia close to us at the garden center. Actually, it's in the front yard of one of our houses, and it's brown. It's dropping. It's already starting to drop all that stuff.
Yeah.
They know how to take care of themselves, so they'll be perfectly mm-hmm. fine and okay.
Well, we need to pause for a moment. In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. When we come back.
You know, what does all the dampness mean? You know, what do you need to pay attention to? And we'll tell you when we come back.
Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. A couple of things we want to point out. Great way to stay connected with us is, of course, give us a call at 749-B105, but also take a moment and jump onto our Facebook page. We try to post a lot of pictures and it gives you an opportunity to pose some questions that we will get answered. We'll check our Facebook page a little bit later on, too, to make sure we keep in touch with everybody that comments on it. Been an awful lot of rain. Awful lot of moisture. What could the damage be, Tony?
Well, not as much damage. It's some things you need to take into consideration as to what you need to do and when you need to do it.
Uh-huh.
And when it's wet like it has been, you know, really stay off the lawn. You know, stay out of the landscape beds. It's
Boy.
Been really wet. So you don't want any, you know, what happens is, I mean, you can get away with it, but, you know, you start compacting the soil a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So save yourself a little bit of headaches and so forth, and get down to the Duke Energy Convention Center. Check out the Home and Garden Show this weekend, or spend some time with your significant other. Go check out a movie. Go over to Crone Conservatory. Even stop by some of your local garden centers and nurseries and see what's new, what's arrived here recently.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff is coming in every day. But to go back to something I really want to hone in on and put some emphasis on this, do not mulch right now.
No.
I sold some mulch to someone yesterday, and I was like, you know, you're not going to put this down right away, are you?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to let it dry out a little bit.
Right.
I'm like, yes, please. He just wanted to have it on hand, and that's fine and dandy, as you would say. Dandy.
But that's right.
Dandy. It's not dandy to put it down right now. You know, we still need to allow oxygen to work its way back into the soil surface, allow that water to just permeate its way throughout the soil itself and work away. And the best thing that you can do is take a hard rake, or if you're one of those people that have the old garden weasel lying around in the shed, get it out, turn that mulch over, loosen that soil surface up, mm-hmm. get some oxygen to it.
Let me ask you, so over the last couple of weeks, you know, we've had several of our listeners call and ask about winter seeding. Now, let's say, for instance, someone has put some seed down.
Mm-hmm.
What's the possibility of that surviving? And
well, it's a wait and see. I can't really tell you exactly what's going to occur or what's likely to happen. You know, it varies in certain areas. If that seed is sitting in low-lying areas that there's a lot of moisture and water pooling, more than likely it's going to end up rotting or decaying, not being of any benefit to you. Perhaps if that seed was located in areas that were on slopes or steep hillsides, some of those torrential downpours that we had, obviously it's going to displace that seed.
Sure.
So, you know, those are the things that come into play. And you know, when you're dealt those cards, you discard.
You just have to play them.
Not really. You discard two or three and say, hit me with three.
Yeah.
And when I say hit me with three, that means more seed, more of whatever you need to do to make it happen.
Right.
So that's where that really comes into play for the most part. But I just really want to say, do not mulch right now. It's of no benefit to mulch it at the moment.
Right.
Allow the soil to dry out. What else I've seen a lot of. Just the other day, I don't know if you're familiar with the euonymus. It's one that's been around for a long time, called Manhattan. And this gentleman had brought in some samples to me, and it's obvious, you know, it's chlorotic. It's those leaves, that foliage is changing color. And the only thing that's different than years past is we were sitting on the third wettest February on record. So, you know, my questions were this, you know, is there a downspout close by? Is water pooling?
Yeah.
You know, is it a low spot? Where is it in relation to the house? You know, all those good things. Are your gutters overflowing? You know, so none of that. So that tells me that more than likely it's the type of soil that's heavy in clay. It's holding moisture. It's not draining thoroughly. And you're going to see these issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, also what comes into play when you see stuff like this, the foliage just gets distorted. It turns yellow. It's getting chlorotic. And this is what plants are. This is what I find unique about plants. They're telling us something's going on.
Right.
You know, they're just not over there doing that just to be doing that.
I'm just over here looking good.
If you
good.
Pay attention, plants talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
They tell us. They give us visual clues. And a lot of times when we talk about establishing a landscape or adding to one, don't crowd it.
Right.
You need air movement. And when there's very little air movement and you have all this water like we've been experiencing, that's not good. And we're also going to talk about what does moisture mean when it's too much or we have and it's an abundance in the spring.
Right.
Because it really sets the stage for a lot of potential disease issues. And we're going to talk about that later in the show, too, and what you can do to protect yourself and protect your plants.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have to pause for a moment. But Tony, we have Sue on the line from Dayton. We're going to come to her right after the break. She wants to ask you about fertilizing. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And Sue, thanks for hanging on the line. Tony, Sue is from Dayton's got a question about when she should apply fertilization, step one, especially with all the moisture, right, Sue?
Yes.
Okay.
So are you talking about the first step of the Fertilin lawn program?
Now, I know after our monsoon season, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
the step one with the prodiamine, on my flower beds, could I cover them with like sheets or something to keep the prodiamine out of them?
Well, you know, the prodiamine is just like another product called Dimension in a lot of ways. You know, they're both pre-emergence. So if you were to get a little bit of like overspray or spread into your landscape beds, is that what's concerning you?
Right.
Other than the fact if you were trying to grow anything in your landscape beds from seed, no, there would be no detrimental effect at all.
It would not hurt like my roses and things like that?
No, not at all.
Okay, now my roses are starting to green up from the bottom, and they're leafing out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when may I cut them back?
You know what? I always like to shoot for any time, you know, in March. And I always tell people to prune them when you start seeing some new growth. A lot of people will as well say, hey, a good phenological indicator, which is something happening in nature, like the forsythias, when they start to bloom, a lot of people like to trim their rose bushes back when they see them blooming yellow.
Okay.
So it's really your call. The only time that I advise against pruning back rose bushes, period, is if they're climbers. Obviously, yours are not. They're probably either hybrid teas or they're shrub roses, floribundas, what have you. But, you know, I like to cut them back now. Keep them, you know, when you prune back your rose bushes, try and keep them open, that shape in the center, so you get good air movement. And, you know, at this point, you know, you can do it. And if the new growth that comes on a little bit later, we get into a cold snap and it really damages that new growth, then just cut it back a little bit more. Give yourself a little bit of leeway.
Sure.
And go, you know, I like to cut them back to around 12, 15 inches in that neighborhood.
I usually do 12.
Yeah.
Okay.
When I came into the radio station this morning, I noticed that the rose bushes out in front have already been pruned.
Oh, okay.
So nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
I would, as far as your lawn is concerned, Sue, you have, you know, the middle of March through the middle of April is the ideal time frame window of opportunity to put down that first application with the pre-emergent in it that has prodiamine.
Okay. Then I have a long graveled driveway.
Uh-huh.
Well, when I use Roundup to keep the weeds out, I have to do that like every 4 weeks. Is there anything I can put on that to kill the weeds and grass that comes up through that?
Oh, yeah.
Like
you can
what?
You can do a combination of things. Are you familiar with Kills-All?
Yes.
Okay. You can buy Kills-All with extended control. All right.
Okay.
And the extended control part of it is prodiamine, which is your pre-emergent that keeps other weed seed that blows into that gravel driveway from germinating.
Okay. That takes care of grass also?
Yeah, it will. It's a non-selective herbicide. Kills-All is just like, you know, Roundup. I like it better because it has a built-in surfactant, so it's going to adhere to whatever it is you're spraying a lot better than Roundup.
Right.
It's less expensive than Roundup. It's a great product.
Okay.
Now, you can also use your Roundup if you still have some on hand. And are you familiar with high yields turf and ornamental weed and grass stopper with Dimension?
Yes.
That's what we typically put into our landscape beds. You could also spread that on the gravel driveway.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, you can spray a Roundup, kill everything, and then come back with the, you know, the product with Dimension, the high yields turf and ornamental weed and grass stopper. And that's going to protect, it's going to keep things from germinating for up to 4 months. I like it a lot better than Preem. You get an extra 30 days out of it. It's a lot less expensive than Preem. And you'll want to apply that a couple of times throughout the season.
Right. That's better than every 4 weeks.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
So, again,
a large driveway, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So as you said, was gravel, correct? Did you say that? Okay, that's what I thought.
Yes.
So you'll notice a huge difference. Just do an area, and you tell me.
Okay.
It's Dr. King that up there in Park Hills, the chiropractor. That's what he does. He uses Kilzol, and he uses the high yields weed and turf, you know, ornamental weed and grass stopper.
Okay.
And it keeps all that stuff out of his gravel driveway.
Good, good. Okay. Then on the insecticide that mm-hmm. you put around your shrubbery and your flowers and things, where mm-hmm. you only have to do it like once a year, just wait until things dry out.
Absolutely. You know, you're talking about the drench?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah, just wait till things dry out. Now, you noticed that you told me your rose bushes are starting to push new growth.
Right.
You know, as things like that start happening, that's when you want to get that into the plant.
Okay.
Now, the ground's saturated, so I think because of that, you know, it might make the product, if we use it just a little too early, a little less effective, and it may not, but I'd rather see you allow it to dry out a little bit. And it's always best to use some of those products, too, after you water your plants, because, you know, it doesn't run off the top rapidly.
Right, right. You have to...
Yeah, you want a little bit of moisture there in the ground.
To wash it in, yeah.
Not too much, but you want a little bit.
Right.
And just water that in around the base of the shrub or the tree, and it's you've used it. It's highly effective.
Okay, okay. Will do. Well, thank you very much for your time and your info.
Well, you're welcome. It sounds like to me you really didn't need to call because you know what's going on. So you can come on in here and help us with the show if you'd like.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Sue.
All right, thank you.
Bye, Sue. Have a good weekend.
7.9 B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Got to pause for a moment when we come back.
Well, we'll continue that, that little topic of discussion right there with the rose bushes.
We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. The big story, of course, the rainfall, the moisture on the ground. It is wet everywhere. Even places where you didn't think water could get to.
It got there. It made its way.
I was just, last week, I was talking to my friend, Ronnie King up at the Civic Club, went up there on Saturday, and we were talking about how much water was falling, how much rain was falling, I should say, and how much trouble it was causing everybody. And he said, people don't realize that it's an unstoppable force. You might slow it down, but it eventually is going to get to where it wants to go.
It's amazing what water can do.
Yeah.
You know, you used to hear the old saying, you know, water always seeks its own level, and it does.
Yeah.
I mean, it seeps through and works its way in wherever it wants to go.
Yeah.
It's amazing, and we've had quite a bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, they had a lot up on the East Coast couple of days as well.
Mm.
I don't know. I don't know if that... You know, I really get concerned about things like this, especially if it really starts carrying itself into the spring season,
mm-hmm.
as, you know, a lot of our fruit trees, the apple trees, the peach trees, the crab apples and so forth, all of our flowering trees, you know, our dogwoods, you know, they're really susceptible to diseases because of that.
Oh, really?
Mm. Oh, absolutely. And a lot of times we wonder, like, how do these diseases get into these plants? And it really happens when they're, as those buds start to swell open,
mm-hmm.
when they're in bloom too, you know, they're vulnerable. And you get those cold, damp rains, those, you know, where they linger around for a couple of days and it's windy. All those spores are just moving about and they park themselves onto these plants, onto our trees, our shrubs. And that's when the infection takes place.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe and it's hard to fathom when you think at it. Think of it like that, because when we see problems, that's when they're happening, actually, but we see the problem later on.
Right, right.
And we're going to talk about that, too, needle cast disease with blue spruces. Needle cast disease. You know, it's not something you put on your arm when you break it. You know, it's not a cast, Ernie. But we're going to talk about, you know, a little bit later on in the show, because of moisture and so forth and wet springs, diplodia tip blight with various, you know, things. You know, things you need to be aware of, apple scab, apple rust, cedar apple rust, all these things really turn into ugly things later in the season with some of our plants. you know, our trees and so forth, fire blight. Mm. It's ugly, ugly, ugly. And so I get really concerned about, you know, is this an omen? Is this an indicator that we're going to have a wet spring?
Sure.
I certainly hope not. I'm very optimistic. It's going to be a great spring for everybody.
I think so, too. I just kind of think about this once in a while. A lot of people will realize this, too. When we have those ugly periods of weather, storm, rain, flooding, then you get that, I guess it's almost like an apology from Mother Nature. She always comes back with a gorgeous sunny day and an opportunity to go, okay, mm-hmm. It was bad, but look at this. You know, it's gorgeous. Let's get outside.
You know what? Today's going to be wonderful. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow's going to be wonderful. And, you know, and if you're fortunate mm-hmm. enough that you can get outside and do a couple things.
Right.
You know, we were just talking with Sue over in Dayton. I know she's chomping at the bit, ready to sure. go at it. A lot of people are, you know, there were people buying mulch yesterday.
So don't some people, put it down.
Some people, I'm like, hey, put the brakes on.
Yeah.
You know, let off of the accelerator a little bit. That's your best brake, right?
Yeah.
So just, you know, take it in stride. Do some of those things that you can do without there being any risk of doing something you don't want to happen.
Right.
You know, we were talking about rose bushes. If you can get out there and you can work a little bit and prune back some of your rose bushes, certainly do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you walk out on the lawn or in those landscape beds and you're not really sinking in like an inch to 2 inches or it's mushy, you know, have at it.
Mm.
But try and loosen things up when you're done.
Sure.
You know, the soil surface, you know, that mulch, get some air down there, get some oxygen to it. And she pointed out something else that's very of a great deal of importance. She was asking about the insecticides, and she was talking about the Fertilume Systemic Tree and Shrub Drench. Great product. It really is. It's wonderful on azaleas. It's wonderful on boxwoods. It's wonderful on rose bushes. For those of you who have been plagued with the rose slug eating you out of a house and home, I'm saying that facetiously, chewing on those rose leaves, and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of looking at those nasty leaves that have been chewed on, use the Systemic Tree and Shrub Drench. Pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
It will really, your rose bushes will look totally different. And guess what? When they have all their foliage, they're able to do more photosynthesis and all that other good stuff and create the proper amount of sugars and carbohydrates, and you have healthier rose bushes. You have happier rose bushes. Your landscape looks better. There's nothing negative about these products because they make your shrubs and trees look a lot better. Isn't that what we want?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So once you prune back your rose bushes, it's a good idea to get the drench in there. A little too wet today, but certainly get out to your local garden centers and nurseries.
Mm-hmm.
Pick these products up.
Then be ready.
Be ready. There was a gentleman in a store yesterday. Bought his three-step program. He's got that off the list. Bought a lot of different various fertilizers. He and I talked about apple scab. He bought mancozeb, okay, which is one of your better fungicides to mm-hmm. use and go after those issues with your crab apple trees. And, you know, that's one of those things, too, we talked about a few years ago with Tim Back. I have a crab apple tree. It's a Narragansett. It's beautiful. It blooms white. I was having some issues with apple scab. He injected it for me in the fall, and I've not had that issue. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are things that you can do to protect your valuables. And when I say your valuables, our trees, our shrubs, and our perennials are just like your jewelry inside the house. Protect your valuables. Mm-hmm.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have to pause for a moment, but when we come back,
we're going to stay in the landscape bed.
Going to talk about the landscape.
You got it.
We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And as you may have suspected, talking a lot about water damage, and of course, what it's going to do in our landscape and our lawns mm-hmm. and some of our fruiting trees.
You know, one thing I really want to put some emphasis on is that I'm seeing a lot of activity in people's landscape beds already.
Oh, yeah.
Winter annual weeds.
I told you that our crocuses have already popped up and bloomed and kind of fallen over a little bit. But as you mentioned, there are also some of those little creepers in there that have found its way or their way into the landscape.
All kinds of stuff. And the product I really want you to get out and pick up today, tomorrow, the next upcoming weeks, we're going to really drill down and dial in on this product. And that product is High Yields Turf and Ornamental Weed and Grass Stopper. That has Dimension in it. This is what I want you to get down into your landscape beds. I really do. And it's going to be, you're going to apply this at least two times a year.
Yeah.
And if you do that, I can guarantee you, you're going to save yourself a lot of time, a lot of headaches, and actually, your knees might look in pretty good condition without you wearing them out, kneeling down or, you know, kneeling on the old knee pad.
I'm all about that.
You won't have to get into the landscape beds and pull weeds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's huge.
It is.
You know, and the beauty of it is, you're going to get 4 months protection out of this product called Dimension.
Okay.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. It just does so much for you. It protects against weeds for up to 4 months. 30 days longer. I'm going to say that again. 30 days longer than Preen. Yeah, both are good products.
Right.
But I have to give the edge to Dimension. It's a great product. You know, we're talking to Sue. You know, if she sprays with Kills All Roundup until she uses that up and puts this product down, Dimension, which is High Yields, again,
right,
Turf and Ornamental Weed and Grass Stopper, she'll keep a lot of those weed issues out of her gravel driveway or gravel parking pad. She could also use, you know, sometimes, you know, again, I don't think about everything at every given moment. Kills All makes a product called Kills All 365. Nothing to grow there for a year after it kills it. So there's a lot of options there for Sue. But going back to that landscape bed, keep the weeds out. You know, when you keep the weeds out of your landscape beds, your perennials, your annuals, your shrubs, your trees, they're going to love you because there isn't any competition with weeds that they have to compete with to get those nutrients when you fertilize them. I mean, when you fertilize your stuff in the landscape beds and you have a lot of weeds, guess what? You're feeding the weeds, too.
Oh, yeah, you are.
They're stealing some of those nutrients, you know? When you go out to dinner, you don't want somebody else eating in your on your plate, do you? I know Ernie doesn't.
That's why they give you forks and knives.
That's why, yeah, and you get your own plate, okay?
There'll be sparks flying. You try to get something off of my plate.
And, you know, High Yields Turf and Ornamental Weed and Grass Stopper, it's the answer in keeping you from having to get on your knees and physically pull weeds. It really, I don't have any weeds in my landscape, so I know it works. I can attest to it. It comes in a 12-pound bag or a 35-pound bag. Your choice. You're going to find it only at your local Fertiloom dealers. Again, it's cheaper than Preen.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to save you a lot of back-breaking issues.
Sure.
For you, Ernie, with the bad back.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Lisa's one that does all the weed pulling at your place. You know, but
I'd like to be able to dispute that, but I can't.
But, you know, what we're going after, I know you can't. Are annual weeds. There's annual weeds, there are biennial weeds, and there are perennial weeds. They all behave differently.
Mm-hmm.
Your annual weeds behave like this. For the to make it sound simple, it's this way. Annual weeds reproduce by seed, and they complete their life cycle in one year.
Okay.
Very good.
Yeah.
Ooh.
More than just a hat rack.
Can you give us that? You have any applause?
No.
Kind of stuff for Fern John? Or a smiley sticker for Ernie today?
Yeah.
There are biennial weeds, okay? Biennial weeds reproduce by seed, and they'll complete their life cycle in 2 years. So usually you'll see a biennial weed when it germinates the seed. It will stay low to the ground a lot of times, varying on the type of weed that it is, stays more in a rosette kind of form. And then the second season, it gets a little larger. It might send up a large flower spike.
Right.
And then that second season, it drops seed for the next generation.
Gotcha.
So that's a biennial type of weed. And then you have the perennial weeds. You know, they can live for three or four, you know, three or more years. You know, the dandelion.
Yeah.
Oh, clover.
Yeah. You know, the dandelion. Just, I'm sure we're going to hear a lot about that this year.
So high yields, turf and ornamental, weed and grass stopper will help keep these guys at bay. Now, keep in mind, like your biennial weed or your perennial weeds, if they're already in existence, then you need to use something that's a post approach, like a spray, a selective herbicide, or a non-selective herbicide, depending upon where the weed is located. If the weed is located in the lawn, you want to use something selective. What that means is, what you spray on that weed, it's more than likely it's going to at least kill it or injure it. Well, it's going to at least injure it then or kill it, and it's not going to harm the turf. That's a selective herbicide. A non-selective herbicide is something that it doesn't care what it gets on. It's going to either injure it or kill it, wherever it is. If it's in the turf, it's going to kill the turf too.
Okay.
So your approaches are going to be totally different depending upon where the weed is located, where the weed resides. You know, if it's a grassy weed or a broadleaf weed or whatever type of weed. But I'm seeing a lot of the winter annual weeds like bittercress. When it warms up a little bit more in a few more weeks here,
right,
that stuff's going to take off like mad. It's going to be maddening.
Sure.
So what do you need to do to get rid of those guys? I'll tell you when we come back. 749-B105, Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys. Give us a call here if you have any weed issues or some things that are bugging you or things that you need to know about. Shout our way.
I want to remind you that the final weekend of the Cincinnati Home and Garden Show is happening at the Duke Energy Center. Several of our local leaders and our show sponsors are down there. Make sure you stop by and say hello and, you know, especially check in with Margie down at Bushelman's. Bob from Bard's Nursery and Greenhouse is down there and several others. So tell them hello and check out some of their great displays. But what we have been talking about this morning, some of the creeping things, some of the things that are going to start showing up, and then you're going to be scratching your head going, well, how did that get in there? Anyway,
they just sneak in there, you know. What we'll see first round, this is what you see in the first, second, third round of a 10-round fight. Are the winter annual weeds. Those are what
let's recap that. So that you can identify what these are. You had some great information there.
Yeah, annual weeds, you know, they typically, like we said earlier, that they reproduce by seed. They complete that life cycle in one season, mm-hmm. 1 year. And usually, for winter annual weeds, when this happens, you'll see them in your landscape beds now or perhaps in areas in the lawn where it's somewhat bare. You know, there isn't any competition. And they're there. They're very short, they're small, they're ready to explode and grow into adults just anytime as this weather starts to warm up. And bittercress is a great example. It gets a little white flower on it, and as you walk through an area of bittercress, those little seeds, as you walk through, they just kind of like explode outward.
Wow.
Yeah. And if you live in an area, you get a lot of, a fair amount of deer traffic, you know, as they're walking through.
Yeah.
That stuff just, it's spreading. What ultimately ends up happening to these winter annual weeds, as we warm up and go into the summer months, the parent will pass away. The parent just dies off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
However, believe me, has left a fair amount of seed there that will germinate later in the fall.
Yes.
And a lot of people do not use pre-emergent products in the fall. They don't use them in their lawns. They don't use them in their landscape beds. And this is where that pre-emergent really comes into play and protects you. So what can you do in the meantime?
What can you do in the meantime?
What can you do in the meantime? A couple of products out there that you can spray, but you have to keep in mind it's all about temperature. And when we talk about Fertilum's weed-free zone, one of my favorites, one of my go-tos, because you can use it in cooler temperatures.
Okay.
Now, a lot of times people will say, well, you don't want to waste a product and get rid of a winter annual weed. I most certainly do, because if I'm not on top of my game, if I can get rid of that weed with an herbicide, you know, I'm certainly going to do it before it goes to seed. So I'm stopping it from reproducing.
Mm.
That's why I say I like to go after those early in the season. So, you know, keep that in mind. If not,
no, that's
parent,
very different.
The parent plant's going to die out. You'll see it for a while until that happens, until that occurs.
Mm-hmm.
But rest assured, the reproduction part of it's already happened. The seed's displaced. It's dispersed.
Right. Yeah, you touched on something there that is very interesting, and it's a habit that we have, and it might be from watching our, you know, our grandmas and grandpas down there weeding, where they all they did was just reach down and pull out the weed. But there are a couple of those, when you do that, you're just dispersing more seeds, and it's going to be a bigger issue than...
Yeah, you could if you're in there trying to pull bittercress while it's in bloom and mm-hmm. or it's already set up the seed pods for displacement.
Right.
Absolutely.
So it's best to know what you have and how to eradicate it.
Or go after it before it goes into bloom.
That's a great idea.
You know, you have another couple of winter annual weeds that you're more than likely to see.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little like lavender purplish bloom spike.
Right.
That's a henbit. Purple dead nettle.
Mm-hmm.
So those are things we have to contend with. Once you see it and you can identify with it and take care of it, you're saving yourself a lot of trouble.
Sure you are.
And it happens, you know. Yeah. There's times when things sneak in on me.
Right.
But the longer you let those kind of things go, the worse it becomes. And then you're like, I can't go up there today with you and watch that basketball or that basketball game, Ernie. I have to pull weeds.
Yeah, because March Madness is upon us, and you want to be able to go with your friends and watch a little basketball or just relax. So we're going to try to give you some more ideas throughout the course of the rest of the show to help you do that. Is that quality time at the basketball or watching basketball is very important?
Oh, big time.
You know.
Absolutely. You know what's going on, by the way? I think the... over in Northern Kentucky, the 9th region high school basketball, boys basketball games are going on over at the BB&T Arena.
Mm-hmm.
Always a big time. Whoever gets to go down state, that was always big.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a couple more weeks, March Madness.
Yes.
So start taking care of some of those chores outside.
Right. That's what I was getting ready to say. Be ready. Now, don't get on the lawn now because it's way too saturated.
Yeah.
But it's a good time to take a look inside that shed. And drag out some of those tools, make sure they're sharp, make sure they're clean. And we always point this out. It's March the 3rd. Sooner rather than later, you're going to have to cut that grass. Is your lawnmower up to task?
Tell me, is it?
I'm going to find out, or we're going to find out. You know, load it up, get it to your favorite shop. And have them services. Don't wait much longer, or you'll be waiting a lot longer. Because
do you have a favorite shop?
Do I have a favorite shop? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to say that my friends up there at the Crescent Springs Hardware Store are great for us.
Absolutely. You know? They've been around a long time.
Good I love guys. Being able to go into a locally owned, family-owned place like that. They know you by name, and more often than not, know why I'm there. Before I get whatever I need.
You know what? You just hit the nail on the head. If they see you come through the door, it's usually a nice hello, a nice greeting.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go looking for somebody.
Sure.
Hey, how you doing, Ernie?
Yeah.
Doing all right. What are you in for? Yeah.
You know, when we had our roundtable discussion with our local leaders, the boys from out in Baton's hit the nail on the head. The A-team is always on the floor when you go into a locally owned, family-owned
business. Supposed to be.
Yeah.
And speaking of, I don't know the exact status at the moment, but I would like to send out some prayers to the Baton family. I know Earl's was in the hospital. I don't know the status, but certainly wishing him a speedy recovery. He can bounce back. And just keep Earl in your prayers and say hello to everybody down there at Baton. So it's kind of tough to see that, especially for me. I know that Todd and Jeff are very close to their dad, Earl,
mm-hmm.
who's been in the business for years and years and years. And I know they as well as I cherish my relationship with my father.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were talking about that, you know, getting the gang together when it comes Father's Day time. So, again, everybody wish Earl Baton prayers and that he can bounce back, and we'll see where that goes.
7.9 B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment. When we come back,
we'll talk about that power equipment.
Okay.
Since you brought it up.
Yep. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Sunshine for today, tomorrow, Monday. It's going to feel and be spectacular outside. Make sure you get a chance to get out and enjoy it. Make sure you go to your local garden center, nursery, florist, and pick up all the supplies you need to be ready. Don't get the mulch down because it's way too wet. Got to let things dry out. But we do want you to be prepared so that you get the treatments down early and save yourself a little time and a little misery. Right, Tony?
I'm with you. I'm trying to save you some misery.
Yeah.
But real quick, we Gary Scroggins on our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
He said he just happened to walk in on a tail end of the show talking about treating weeds. What is a product used that is better than Preen? Gary, the product we were talking about was High Yields Turf, an ornamental weed and grass stopper. You get an extra month, 30 days protection from it. It's a pre-emergent.
Mm-hmm.
So anything existing needs to be taken care of accordingly. Then as you apply this particular pre-emergent in your landscape beds, it does a wonderful job. So you won't be disappointed, trust me. And again, that's High Yields Turf and Ornamental Weed and Grass Stopper, and I'll post that for you.
Very good.
So that's a great way to stay in touch with
us. Yeah, yeah. We also have a video posted on our Facebook page. We were talking earlier about the Cincinnati Home and Garden Show down at the Duke Energy Center. It started last weekend. It's running through this weekend, and our local leaders are down there. And while we were at Bard's Nursery talking to Bob at their display, one of our listeners walked up, happened to notice our In and Around the House logo on our shirt. And, oh, my gosh, we listen to you guys all the time, but I have a question. And she was talking about some invading weed in her landscape, and you guys gave her some great advice. We have that video posted on our Facebook page, as well as we spent a little time with Margie, which is great, and she has gotten an awful lot of entries into a nice little prize package we're going to be giving away on the show when she comes in to join us here in a couple of months. And, boy, you talk about fantastic displays. That paved area and bench area that they had, and even the one that Bob had, too, at Bard's Nursery.
Mm-hmm.
But Margie's was spectacular. Love that. You can build a fire pit.
They both were spectacular, yeah. But they both were totally different.
Yeah.
And you can't go wrong there.
No. But I love that fireplace, and that was a great thing about Margie's place is, you know, outdoor living space is very important. And what you decide to do with it depends on really the space you have and your budget, of course, but the possibilities are endless.
Oh, know? Big time. You know, I often wonder, I mean, and that is still one of the biggest, hottest trends when it comes to, you know, home decor, you know, indoor, outdoor living. It's that combination. You know, it's bringing the inside in, mm-hmm. or inside mm-hmm. out and the outside in. I'll get that right. But, you know,
try.
Being able to go out into the backyard or the side yard or the front, wherever, and enjoy the amenities, you know, enjoy all the, you know, all that hard work you put forth and put together there and just relax.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we forget to relax and we bring home work. You looked at me like, I don't. I think about it all the time. You
yeah,
know,
we do I too. We really, I do too.
We really forget, you know, our homes are our, you know, it's our place to relax. It's our place to, you know, leave work and unwind
mm-hmm.
and just let the day go.
Yep. Check out.
Check out. I like that. Check yeah. out. And great ideas down there at the Home and Garden Show. I couldn't remember. You don't have a hot tub, do you?
No. Used to, but it was old. And, you know, we got to the point where it needed an awful lot of repair, so we just did away with it. And that's mm-hmm. when we opened up the rest of that porch area. And, man, it's just spectacular out there. We kind of kind of dwindled down the firewood supply, so we're getting ready to move back out onto the porch. And get our rockers all tidied up and get the table back out there. We're really looking forward to that.
Hey, John,
part.
Was when you and I were out at Ernie's house, was it good housekeeping that was there? Who was, or was it Southern Living? I can't remember.
Yeah.
You liked that, didn't you? I had to throw that your way. I'm sorry. But before we went into the break, okay, all kidding set aside, before we went into the break, you hit on something very, very, very important. And don't put it off. Don't allow come, you know, come that time when you need to mow the grass and you start pulling the cord.
Yeah.
And she doesn't start.
Huh? Yeah. Boy, there's nothing more frustrating than that than having to get it done.
Don't get Clark. That's something Clark Griswold yeah. would allow happen to him.
Yeah. It really is. And we try to tell everybody ahead of time, don't wait till you have to absolutely have it.
Get
it to your shop right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, like our friends at Bud Herbert Motors.
I just want to tell you, that's my go-to down there. Yeah. If you're ever on the west side of town, you know Danny Schwab.
Yep, Schwab.
You know, those guys, they're all certified to work on all Honda equipment, you name it, other equipment still. So go to the people that know what's going on. And like you said, I always go to Bud Herbert. You know,
yep.
Jim and John do a great job. You know, get the blade sharpened. You need to get the blade sharpened. That's the most important thing that you can do. If you're mowing your lawn and your blade's dull, you know, or if it's upside down, it's turned over like Ernie typically does, it's just not going to work right for you.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to tear. You don't want to shred the top of the turf. Yeah. You lose too much moisture. You want that nice, clean cut.
Mm-hmm.
Get the oil changed. Air filter, spark plug. Take your weed eater in, your string trimmer.
Oh, that's another frustration.
Get that thing taken care of.
Oh, man.
Your leaf blower, your, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
All that power equipment, all that gasoline power equipment, get it taken care of.
There isn't any greater source of frustration for me than trying to get that weed eater started.
I know one thing. Yeah. There was somebody who used to, when I was a youngster, he used to buy all my stuff from him, all my power equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Not today. It's still.
Yeah.
Every time I can rely on it, it fires up, it works, it does the job. And, you know, talking about, here's something else. The still weed eater, if you don't believe me, go check this out. If you have ornamental grasses, if you want one of the best things to cut those ornamental grasses, still makes the best blade to put on that weed eater, you know, as an attachment, put onto the weed eater. It mows it right down. Take that Kentucky chrome, the duct tape, wrap it around your ornamental grasses, and just mow right through it. So get down to Bud Herbert Motors or out there at Crescent Springs Hardware or over at Danny Schwab's and look for this piece that fits the still weed eater. Look no more, because every year, just put it right on the bottom. It's an easy change out.
Mm-hmm.
All those years, I used to try all kinds of different approaches. I bought that blade. It mows it down. And if you have that blade, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And you might want to share one of your tips with us. What's the best way for you to get rid of some of those ornamental grasses? Because it's almost time to cut them back.
Yes.
You know, if you haven't already, a lot of people do it going into the winter months. I like to leave mine intact. I like that winter interest. Now they're getting a little ratty. Mm-hmm. You know, when the wind blows, I'm like, yeah, going down the street. Find your way into somebody else's yard. Get underneath their shrub so they have to pick and pull you out.
Yeah.
Because I have to all the time. You know what I'm saying? So that's a great blade. That's a great tool. It expedites that whole process.
Sure. 749 B105, hit it around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Jump onto our Facebook page. We've got that video posted of one of our visits down at the Cincinnati Home and Garden Show at the Duke Energy Center last week. It's running through this weekend as well. Tony, we have Jerry on the line from Independence. We're going to come to him right after the break about getting rid of some ivy. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Tony, we have our friend Jerry on the line from Independence. Jerry, what kind of ivy do you have? Is it English ivy?
Built a new house, and I was wondering, we got like a back hillside. It's not really super steep slope.
Uh-huh.
But I was wanting to put something on it, and somebody said the best thing it'd probably be would be ivy or something.
Well, I mean, ivy's one of the options. What type of sun exposure do you get, Jerry?
Mostly mid-morning, I guess.
So most of the day it's shade then, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Is it relatively dry back there?
Yeah.
I'll tell you one I would definitely try. And I don't know the size or the scope of this hillside or the project. I love Vinca Minor. You know, it's called Creeping Myrtle, Periwinkle. Gets a nice blue bloom in the spring. Kind of really, you know, just it's a nice ground cover. You know, it doesn't want to be in an area where it's wet. Part sun, part shade, that might be really suitable instead of ivy. A little better behaved, so to speak. You know, if you want ivy, ivy can be really a beautiful ground cover. And it could be one that will leave you there scratching your head, thinking to yourself, why did I ever do this?
Right.
You know, that hillside, if it's something you want to keep things into play, that's what's most important. Purple winter creeper, Euonymus. You might pocket it. You know, it that would do well. Pocket, right. You know, that hillside with like maybe some stone, give it more of a decorative look. Do you go down to that area? Do you pass through that area?
No, it's actually it butts up back towards the woods.
Got it. Do you ever have a path down into the woods? You know, this is one of those things, Jerry. That
creek and stuff.
Yeah, this is one of those areas that you know, if you can't beat them, join them, and set this up to where you know make it lead up into like you got to go through this room or this arbor or this area to go down to the creek. You know, make somebody that comes to your house, you know, be it family, friends, neighbors, whatever, and you look in your back, this is in the backyard, right?
Right.
You know, they'll wonder, like, where does that lead to? Yeah, that's what it's all about. When you develop and design something, you know.
Yeah, she's all about the wow factor.
Yeah, that, and it's creating that room. It's creating that, like, where does that lead to? And you said it goes down the hill through the creek?
Right.
There you go. Kids love that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But pretty much, you know, just get with one of your local garden centers or nurseries. And
thank you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. It's been for a long time.
Well, thanks, Jerry.
And I got another question. Do they see any kind of, stuff to kill molds?
Molds?
In a liquid form?
In a liquid form? Nah. Probably if you want to get close to something of the sort and not want to trap or use... anything that's castor bean related, like castor oil, which kind of deters them. You know, there's that product called Tomcat that has these little jelly worms that you insert into the tunnels. I hear a lot of people swear by that one.
Right.
So that might be something you want to consider.
Yeah, because we got them bad.
Yeah. Well, stop down, see me, or like I said, you know, we can take care of it. We can do trapping. All right.
I'll just measure that off and then I'll come down and get what I need or whatever.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jerry. Have a good weekend.
I'll get it done before spring or whatever because I don't want that, you know, the dirt and all that stuff.
No. The sooner you can work it in, the better.
Right.
Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Thanks. 749 B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And Tony, we have our friend Jane on the line from Dayton. Jane's got a pre-emergent question for you. What do you think is going to be popping up there, Jane?
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was thinking about that pre-emergent, and I pretty much probably knew, but if you put that down, it's going to also keep your annual reed cedar flowers, like my impatiens and stuff that come back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. That's the only time you don't want to use it.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, what's more important?
Yeah.
So, in your situation, what's more important, Jane? I'm going to put the ball back into your court.
Well, the deer eat them anyway, and I wish I could ask Sue. She lives in Dayton also. I wish I could ask her. She has problems with the deer here. They're just taking over in Dayton. It's terrible. But my other question, because of the deer... they've ate off a lot of my tulips.
Oh, yeah.
Now, since they haven't bloomed yet, are they still going to bloom or not?
Well, let me make sure I understand you correctly. They've yet to touch them. Is that what you're saying?
They've what?
They have yet to touch or get.
Oh, no, they have chewed off the leaves all the way to the ground just
about. Oh, okay. So they've chewed on them for the most part. Was it? Okay. Yeah. Nah, it's a wait and see. Unlikely.
Yeah.
You know, Jane, honestly, if you try a couple of the deer products, the deterrents, you got to stay with them. Okay.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do is break that habit. Those deer know I can stop in Jane's backyard on my way over to Joe's house.
Or Sue's.
Uh-huh. And chew on a couple of items, you know. As you know, that's going to be my appetizer. It's like a little pub crawl.
Oh, yeah. I have like a smorgasbord out here for them. Yeah.
So, you know, you honestly, I say this all the time to homeowners. Those who have used Deer Scram and it's been effective, give us a testimonial. You've got to stay with it. You've got to stay with it. And here's the beauty of it, Jane.
Well, I've used the Deer Stop and, you know, the stuff that I've used several different products before. And it does, as long as it doesn't rain, it keeps them away. But here this spring, you know, I can't get out there and do it because of all the rain and stuff.
Right. And I have found for me that Deer Scram has been the most effective.
Deer Scram.
You have Deer Off, obviously. You have Liquid Fence.
Yeah.
But Deer Scram, if you bought that from me, it's going to show up on your register receipt, Deer Scram, and you come back into the store, and hopefully people are honest, and they say, you know what? It wasn't effective. Guess what?
You're not going to sell it anymore.
Well, they want me to give you another one, or they want me to give you your money back. What more could a person ask for?
Yeah.
It's that simple. I don't get it. But when people spend $80 to $120 on plants and bedding plants.
Oh, I know.
What's $20, $25 to protect them? And money back guaranteed if it doesn't work. I don't know what else people want. People love insurance.
Well, I apologize, but I haven't bought any Deer Scram from you, but I will this year. Since I spend lots of money over there.
I know you love the garden. And for everybody that loves the garden, give it a shot. Stay with it. The only time I've seen products like that not as effective as they should be or could be is if it's a young fawn, something, you know, relatively young that has yet to know or sense danger.
Yeah.
Or something's different.
Right. And I think that's what's, they also tried to eat off my daffodils.
Right.
And I think they got a bite of that. It's a young one that I should have hit in the head with the shovel.
Yeah, I know.
My sister wouldn't let me, but it was sitting right in there. The mother had left it right in the middle of my flower bed.
Right, right. You know, but what it really boils down to in a nutshell, and I'll let you get, is that you got to change the habit.
Yeah. Okay.
If they know your yard is along the route and it's a stopping place, you know, before you go home for happy hour, it's happy hour all the way.
Oh, yeah. I give them breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
There you go. Well, I'll be over. Ernie and I'll be over here.
Come on. I'll fix Jane, biscuits and gravy and eggs.
Oh, I like that. Biscuits and gravy. One of my favorites at Anchor Grill. All right. Jane, have a wonderful weekend.
You too, guys.
Bye.
Thanks. 7.9 B105, hit it around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And Tony, when we come back, we have a question on our Facebook page that we're going to go to. Plus, we also want to remind you, we posted that video of our visit to the Cincinnati Home and Garden Show last weekend. It runs through this weekend, so make sure you stop by and say hello to our local leaders and the show supporters. We'll be right back. Welcome back in it around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And Tony, again, we tell all of our friends and our listeners to jump onto our Facebook page. It's a great way to post pictures, pose questions, and we'll always get back with them. We have one from Jesse Allgaier Finke with a question. She says, we have these bugs at work. They're in the windows, on the walls, on the floors. They look just like lightning bugs, but they're not. Had them back early in the fall, and now they have returned. Any idea what they could be?
More than likely, the box elder bug.
The box elder bug.
Or it could be stink bug, too.
I thought it was a stink bug until she said it doesn't look like lightning bugs.
Yeah, stink bug doesn't look like a lightning bug, but the box elder does. It has a... like an orangish reddish color on it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they try to set up residence in your home or wherever during the winter months, and now they're wanting out.
Right.
You know, it's that time of year. A couple of things you can do. One is, we talked about this in the fall, is using some of those products that have a little bit more of a residual value to them when you're spraying around your home. Mm-hmm. She's in the office environment, which is totally different. And being the fact that she's at work, I would have somebody from her place of employment or, you know, whoever the building management team is, have that professionally done you know, somebody that does that kind of work, like Webb's Exterminating or something. But as far as your own home, I can share this with you, is that a couple products that you can use, and going back to that residual type of product that I talk about mm-hmm. often, is spraying the outside of your foundation around your garage doors, you know, all those openings around your doors, your windows, your foundation, 38 plus. That's some bad stuff there. I like it. That's like a good shot of whiskey right there.
Yeah.
You know, just to put it simply. But, you know, 38 plus is wonderful for outdoors only. Don't bring it inside. You're going to set yourself up for something you don't want.
You don't want any of that in the house.
However, inside, use maybe try an insecticidal soap, something soapy solution. Use your vacuum cleaner, suck them up. Then dump the bag into your trash can, or you can use High Yields Kill a Bug 2. That's a great indoor outdoor spray. You can buy it, you know, just like in a little ready to use, like trigger sprayer type of unit, 32 ounces, works perfect. Works on a lot of other stuff too, spiders, etc. Yeah. Ants, things like that, cockroaches, people like you. I'm just kidding. But anyway, homeowners, 38 plus outside, you know, a great residual value to that particular product. Turf Ranger in, you know, in the mulch beds, that's a great product.
Mm-hmm.
You want to spray something inside, either an insecticidal soap or a soapy solution that you make up with like Dawn dishwashing detergent, etc., or High Yields Kill a Bug 2, or simply use your vacuum cleaner and just suck mm-hmm. them up.
All right.
All right.
Yep.
In the business office environment, I'm going to leave that one alone because I don't want anything bad to happen or whatever.
Right.
Contact a professional.
And, you know, just if you want to, take a couple of pictures and post them on our page. We'll be able to more clearly identify what that might
be. Yeah, Ernie's our on-staff entomologist.
Identifier.
Yes, he went to Louisiana State University. What do you got, 6 years in there?
I'm a professional student.
Yeah. You know, I have a couple of friends who were like that.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah,
you ever want to graduate?
Dad, what are you doing?
No, I'm inspiring to go on Jeopardy, man.
I'm getting another degree. Wow. Okay.
Just
those first two have been really
helpful.
Walk
out into
for
the
you.
Sun. It goes up 3 degrees, 4 degrees.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Have to pause for a moment, and when we come back.
You know, there's still some chores that we can do that I know if you're like me sometimes, you still got to do some of these things. Get it ready for the upcoming spring season, and it will streamline it for you, and you don't have to play catch up. Then you might get to get out and hang out with some of your buddies and watch March Madness.
Sounds good. We'll be right back.
I'm Sherry.
I'm Terry.
We know you can't see it, but
we're totally twins.
And we all know two is better than one. So when I got a new iPhone from T-Mobile,
I got one too.
Now we can have twice the fun. Literally.
Right. Like when we take pics together.
She always knows how to capture my good side.
And since T-Mobile family plans come with Netflix included,
and since we each have a new iPhone,
we don't have to fight over which show to watch.
Even though we watch all the same shows.
Yeah. It's nice to have options, though.
Right now, when you buy one iPhone 8 from T-Mobile, you get a second iPhone 8 on us after rebate. Because the only thing better than one iPhone is a second iPhone. And for a limited time, bring your family to T-Mobile and get a fourth line free after bill credits. Only with T-Mobile. Join today.
If you cancel, phone balances due. Full price $700. Qualifying credit, finance agreements, and trade-in required. Netflix for two screens. See netflix.com/terms of use for details.
Work, school, ballet, laundry, and that's just half your Monday. Luckily, with Meijer All-Together Meals, you'll never be too busy to get a delicious dinner on the table. Just stop by the Meijer Deli to find lots of great ready-to-go deals, like a juicy Meijer 30-ounce rotisserie chicken and any refreshing 2-liter Coca-Cola product for $7, or crispy fried chicken and a 2-liter of Coke for $8. So grab a Meijer All-Together Meal and let us do the cooking tonight. Tax, deposit, and CRV not included.
It's been a long winter. You deserve an escape to the beach. Book now and save hundreds during Apple Vacation Spring Super Sale. It's our biggest sale of the season. Non-stop fun, adventure, relaxation. Plus, Apple Vacations takes care of everything. Round-trip airfare, accommodations, all meals, drinks, taxes, and more. Explore Jamaica. 6 nights at Sunscape Splash Montego Bay start from only $11.99. Or make it 6 nights at Grand Palladium Lady Hamilton Resort and Spa starting from just $13.49. Call Travel Leaders in Mason or Fort Thomas. That's Travel Leaders in Mason or Fort Thomas. Or visit travelleaders.com/NKY. Prices per person based on double occupancy for select exclusive vacation flights from Cincinnati to Jamaica on Swiftair PC-17103 starting May 27th and include taxes and fees, including September 11th security fee. Some flights are operated by other airlines. Baggage charges apply. See applevacations.com. Prices subject to availability and change. Restrictions apply.
I'm Amanda Valentine, and when I need help with my home, I call Herman Services. Got a clogged drain? Herman Services can help. Kitchen sinks, toilets, even floor drains. Herman Services is a family-owned company that's celebrating their 50th anniversary that can fix it fast. With any drain cleaning, they run a video inspection and have options for hydrojetting your sewer line. That means your drain isn't just cleared, you get a clean drain. Call 513-SERVICE or visit HermanServices.com for coupons. That's Herman with two R's and two N's. That's HermanServices.com.
Hi, I'm Patty.
And I'm Catherine from the Mills Fence family.
We've been in business for over 45 years.
Thanks to all of our great customers.
Check out our locations in Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky or visit our website at MillsFence.com.
We're a locally owned and operated business that has provided superior customer service and fair pricing. Call us at Mills Fence today for your free estimate. 513-631-0333.
Thanks for your patronage from all of us at Mills Fence.
That's Mills Fence.
Spring is here. Come to Ed's Feed and Seed and get any of your Fertilome products. They carry the Fertilome 3-Step Program, Fertilome Weed Free Zone in liquid and granular, and Fertilome Weed Out Plus Lawn Fertilizer. Ed's Feed and Seed, 12085 Montgomery Road. Call 683-8822.
Let's get back to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Call us at 749-B105.
Welcome back. In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And great weekend to get out and about. Lots of sunshine. A lot of people still assessing the damage from the rain and the flooding. But, you know, here's something that might help just a little bit. We are that much closer to spring. As a matter of fact, a week from tonight, we're going to be springing forward, setting the clocks up, getting more daylight in the latter part of the day. And we're going to talk now about maybe adding some color to your landscape.
Certainly can do that with, we talked last week about hellebores, Lenten rose, mm-hmm. those are in bloom. Of course, the pansy. Who doesn't like the pansies?
Yeah.
You know.
They're wonderful. Is
you ever been called a pansy?
No, many times.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. You look like a big red one right now. Anyway, a great way to add color to your window boxes, to your containers and so forth, your landscape beds. And they're looking really, really, really good. I'm telling you, get out to your local garden centers and nurseries, check out what's coming in, check out what's fresh, and a great way to add a lot of color. And I say this all the time. I can't say it enough. Buy your pansies now. I mean, they're resilient enough. The beauty of pansies or violas, the Johnny Jump Ups, I love them. Very fragrant. Is that you're going to get all of March, all of April, 2 weeks into May. So what is that? 10 weeks of mm-hmm. bloom. And they're going to take the cold. They're going to take a freeze. They could take a snowfall. Come on. What more do you want? Don't plant those things like April 25th, you know, April 30th, and you're taking them out in 2 weeks. Plant them now.
Yeah.
Enjoy the longevity, the beautiful blooms, the color. They'll get rooted in so well. They'll bloom their heads off for you. And I hear this all the time. It's after Mother's Day. Inevitably, someone says to me, a number of people will say this, gosh, I hate to take my pansies out. They look great.
Yeah, well, why do you do that?
Because what happens? Pansies are a cool weather kind of plant. They love those cooler temperatures. Right. That's where they're at their best.
Mm-hmm.
You get into the hot part of the summer months, you know, it's not their favorite time of the year. And usually if you're lucky and they're getting more shade than sun, especially in the hot afternoon, they might hang on until the fall and then ramp back up.
Oh, I like that little.
Do you like that?
Yeah, that little snap there.
Absolutely.
Ramp back up.
That will happen, and that can happen. But for the most part, here's what ends up happening. You leave them in those pots. It's Mother's Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's Memorial weekend. Then it's middle of June. Yeah, they're starting to look a little tired. Well, I'm going to go down and see what they got at the garden center.
Yeah.
Do you have this on hand? We're a little low on that. We're pretty much sold out. You have this? No. Gosh, I can't find anything. Well, it is middle of June. We're going into July, you know. Again, get them in there now. Enjoy all of March, all of April, 2 weeks of May. And don't be apprehensive to lift them out and go with your annuals when it comes time to plant your annuals. That's when it's safe to do it. So there you go. That's it. I can't spell it out for you, Ernie.
Right.
Anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Any better.
Well,
it can't be any clearer.
Appreciate that because I'm not a good speller.
I know that because you ask me like every Saturday you'll ask me like three or four words.
Not joking. I'm so bad at it. Spell check won't even guess.
That's bad. You know what?
It is.
With today's technology, if you can't look that up and find out, and I catch myself all the time, sometimes I'll post something on Facebook. What did I do the other day? I left something off of a word, and I'm like, somebody probably thinks I'm really stupid. So I go back, you know, and I got to go in that edit mode. I got to get to you, buddy. Just so someone else is like, you know, the other day, I saw somebody that I know on Facebook answer a question for somebody and they said, I don't know.
Yeah.
Not K-N-O-W, N-O. And you went to Holmes, man. Yeah, you're a bulldog all the way.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And Tony, we have Nick on the line from Monroe. He's got a question about a mimosa. Well, Nick, I'm ready for one. Tony, you ready for a mimosa? That would be great. Have a little eye-opener for us.
There you go.
What's your question, Nick?
Well, I'm interested in getting a mimosa tree. So I'm a home inspector, so I'm seeing a lot of houses, and I see a lot of the area around here. I see a lot of those houses that were built in the 50s, 60s, and maybe 70s that have really well-grown, big, beautiful mimosa trees.
They are beautiful.
Just go in her yard and dig one up.
Well,
they self-sow all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they volunteer everywhere.
I guess my question is that I am interested in getting one, but when I look on the internet to try to find one, I can only find one that's 3 to 4 inches or 3 to 4 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told locally I could maybe get one that's a little bit more mature from multiple people at NACORPS. But once I got in contact with NACORPS, they gave me a long spiel about those trees not being native to this area and that it's kind of a toss-up as to if the first couple winters after you planted in are too severe that you will possibly lose the tree. So obviously people are making a success of this. How do I make it a success for myself, and where do I find someone that will carry one?
Well, you know, there's some truth to that. Everything that you just, echoed that you heard from NACORPS. You know, it's not often that you see the mimosa tree. And don't plant it late in the year either. That's where they're going with that. That's not one of those trees that's best suited for fall planting.
Sure.
We're probably about as far north as you want to bring them to a degree. I've seen some wonderful mimosa species here locally. And like I said, they just volunteer and grow crazy. The real issue with the mimosa tree is that you're not plagued with, you know, they can get this wilt disease. And it's an internal vascular issue that that will come about with this mimosa wilt. It's a pathogen of some sort. I don't know all the details, but a lot of times you could have a stellar looking mimosa tree, and then all of a sudden look at one, it's just like it's not going to make it. So it's not one that's highly sought after for some of those reasons. The one that I can remember, and I'm going to go back a few years, and it was very, very attractive. And actually, see if if you can find a garden center that can maybe procure one for you. It's finding somebody that grows these. That's the real key. There was a mimosa called the chocolate mimosa. Beautiful dark foliage. It was incredible. The color was incredible. However, we sold probably maybe a dozen at our garden center. Some of the people that I know that bought one person, they really liked theirs. It did really well. Sometimes in the severe winters or early in the spring, when they start to flush out and it gets cold again, it can knock them back a little bit. But the other situation, too, was a friend of mine, hers reverted back to the green color. Okay. It didn't stay chocolate. Hmm. Yeah, I'm going to get John to get some information from you, and I'll reach out and see who's sitting on a couple of mimosa trees. A lot of times you'll find them in a nursery, Ernie.
Yeah.
And you'll find them sometimes in a nursery if you do. They don't look like much, but they put on growth quickly.
I have had success with finding what they call the chocolate fountain mimosa at my local garden center of ferns. Now, what I've been told is that the flower is a little bit different, the leaves a little bit different, and that's what the old lady's looking after. Mm-hmm. And I was also told that that is kind of a crossbred dwarf version of the regular mimosa.
It is. It's all of that. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. That's the one that you're most common. That's one you're likely to stumble across.
Okay.
Other than you see one and you see a decent volunteer underneath or around a mimosa tree.
Yeah.
If it came from that parent, that species, more than likely it's going to do well for you. Okay. There's a freebie right there. They're not, they're kind of quick to grow in a lot of ways too. I mean, it's not a fast, rapid growing type of tree, but they're not slow either.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I'm going to get John to get some info from you, and let me just kind of put my feelers out there and see who's sitting on what or where we can source you to.
That'd be awesome. I appreciate
it. All right. Hang on the line. 7.9 B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. That's good news. I want to get some information on it, too. We want to put a couple of mimosa trees in Mammy and Pappy's yard because we have a neighbor that just loves them, and he deserves us to put in 4 or 5 of those. We'll be right back. This is spectacular. A lot of great displays. And we ran into one of our listeners who had a couple of questions, so we were able to help her out. And it's on there, the video of us answering her questions.
Yeah, that was good. She spotted you.
Yeah.
I said, how did you know that was Ernie? I could tell from way off. I didn't know
Paige
what that meant.
Was her name.
You acted like she saw your shirt with the In and Around the House logo.
That was it.
She said, I was way in the back, and I saw him, and I knew that was Ernie.
Yeah. Flying the flag. I was down there flying the flag. Well, it runs through this weekend, so make sure you go down and say hello to Margie from Busherman Supply, right. Bob from Bard's Nurseries down there. Who else is down there?
The gang from Arling House Heating and Air, right there in the lobby.
Right
great
in the
setup,
front.
Right in the front, right there by the Starbucks coffee place.
Yeah. And our bee person, we met a
Justina Bach. Yes. Is it right?
Yes, and that was great. We ran into her. We walked past her while she was talking to some people who had walked up on her while she was still.
Are you
going to
take credit for all this
display.
Now? There he goes.
Mm-hmm. And she was talking to someone while she was setting up her display, but took the time to explain all of this about mason bees. And you spent quite a bit of time with her. Talking about the bees, and we're going to have her on the
that's,
show.
You know what? That was so, so, so interesting. Yeah. I was amazed. You know, I believe she's the owner of Osmia Bee Company, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have her card with me. But the Mason Bee, what a busy bee. Busy, busy bee.
Busy.
Hey, part of B105, the Mason Bee.
There you go.
There you go. It's on all the trucks, all the cars. Great pollinator, by the way.
Yes, indeed.
Does the work of how many honeybees?
A lot.
A lot. You know what I thought was really interesting was when she cracked open
the pod.
Those reeds,
mm-hmm.
and the you could see, you know, the bees to be that were all laid in there, and they were various sizes based upon the sex.
Uh-huh.
Remember?
I do.
And she would lay an egg, then chamber it off with a mud wall, lay an egg, chamber it off, lay an egg, et cetera, all the way out to the end where the last chamber was void for any type of predator like you that would come and think, oh, I found a treat.
Yeah.
There's nothing in there behind that mud wall. But what was next, remember?
That the...
They were males.
Males. And
she,
the yes. bee population would sacrifice the males before the females mm-hmm. so that they could protect the
absolutely. The so hanging her with this upcoming spring season, because we have a lot of cool stuff headed your way. Mm-hmm. And Justina Bach from Osmia Bee Company is one of those cool things we're going to be bringing to you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of interesting things.
A lot of great things.
See,
happening.
That's why I like entomology, you know, insects. And see, you're our entomology resident here at B105 with your 6 to 8 years experience studying at Louisiana State University. You bring a wealth of knowledge here, Ernie.
You're welcome.
Thank you, bud. So, you know, earlier in the show, we were talking about, all kidding aside, we see how Ernie and I behave and treat one another.
Mm-hmm.
We love each other. We're inseparable. We were Siamese twins at the beginning.
That's right.
A lot of operations there.
My brother from a different mother.
Yes. So we were talking about earlier in the program, you know, we're talking about all this moisture and so forth. And I expressed some concerns, you know, kind of like when you get into that type of a weather pattern,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially during the winter months and, you know, stepping out of February, you know, right now, hopefully we can kick off the galoshes and boots and the wellies and all that stuff and get out of that pool of water, because that was the third wettest February on record.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that that's not really an omen of what's to lie ahead this upcoming spring. But I do want to put some emphasis on this. If you have blue spruces, you know, even, you know, Bob loves the globosas and the blue spruce on a standard. If you have blue spruce pines, they've been getting beaten up and riddled with a disease called rhizosphera, needle cast disease. And this disease, by the time you find that your tree is infected with it, it's not until late in the season. And you're like, wow, when did all this take place? Well, we're here to tell you it takes place in the spring, and you need to start spraying proactively prior to seeing this in April, mid-April.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we're going to tell you the product that you're going to want to use as well. But this disease, rhizosphera, needle cast disease, all of a sudden, within weeks, the lower limbs of your blue spruces, they're bare. They've dropped a lot of internal leaves, or needles, I should say.
Right.
And try your best, if this has happened to you, to get all of that up off the ground, because that spore can be harbored there all winter long. And then you get into the rainy part, the hard rains, the torrential rains, when the downpours, they pelt the soil surface, they get the spore moving,
mm-hmm.
it gets moving about by the wind, and it gets onto the tree itself, and that's where it all sets up. So you want to spray with a broad spectrum from Fertilume that contains chlorothalonil. You might find it under another name called Daconil, but chlorothalonil, mm-hmm. Fertilume's broad spectrum. If you have a blue spruce, which I do, and I spray mine in the spring now,
right?
I was affected with it a couple of years ago. I'm telling you, go after it, because if you have a blue spruce that's got some decent size to it, and you're afflicted with needle cast disease, you can't replace that spruce.
No.
I don't care how much money you have. It's a very difficult thing to do. You cannot replace
sure.
a beautiful species like that. And you have to spray a couple of times throughout the season, you know, in the rainy season. You know, a lot of people like to spray before the rains. You know, just keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And gosh, I can't say it enough. Also, Diplodia tip blight. I see it a lot on, you know, Bob Bard loves the globosas, the blue spruce globosas on a standard, which is like tree form with a round blue spruce globosa on
it.
Yeah. Did you ever see those little tips turn a light tan color? That's Diplodia tip blight. This too, the chlorothalonil, will protect you against that. So if you prize those in your landscape, or if you're looking to purchase anything of the sort for the landscape, you're going to need to be proactive.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are, it's going to be perfect. When I saw mine for the first time, it was like late in the summer.
Right.
I was like, oh, really? And I know better.
Yeah.
But you forget about that stuff. I'm here to remind you. So Rhizosphera Needle Cast, check it out. You know, you can go out and check it out on UK's website. This is what you want to look for and make sure it doesn't happen to you. And the product that will work, pick it up at your local garden centers. I'm not here trying to sell you a product. I'm here trying to keep you from losing a blue spruce.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Fertilum's Broad Spectrum with Chlorothalonil. It's a great fungicide.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Make sure you take the time to jump on to our Facebook page. We talked a little bit about the home and garden show going on down at the Duke Energy Center. And we got a couple of videos posted there. We ought to try to give our friend Bob Bard from Bard Nursery a call.
We'll give him a call. Ring. Do that. And, who did that? Ring-a-ding-a-ding. John doesn't know. He's too young.
But we'll do that. We'll take a break here and we'll try to reach out to them, or maybe Margie, and find out what's going on.
Right. And, you know, also we're going to come back. We're going to tell you some of our local leaders here that have been very supportive of In and Around the House, who are set up at the show, that you definitely need to stop by and see and say hello.
All right. We'll be right back. Welcome back In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We're talking a little bit about a couple of things that we're trying to help you out with, and that's to avoid having to battle all of those weeds and stuff that are blowing into the landscape, the water damage to your lawn and landscape as well. And we're trying to reach out to our friend Bob from Bard's Nursery, or Margie from Bushelman Supply, both of them working hard down at the Cincinnati Home and Garden Show, which is going on at the Duke Energy Center. But we do want to take a second before we get back to the topic of conversation and remind everybody this is important. Check your shed. Get your tools ready for the spring season, because sooner rather than later, you're going to have to cut the grass. And nothing more frustrating than not being able to get that mower started or not having it prepared with a sharp blade. So we talked about local places like Crescent Springs Hardware, about Bud Herbert Motors, and
Danny Schwab.
Or
Schwab Nursery.
Mm-hmm. But take it in there now, because everyone is going to wait until later, and then you'll be waiting a long time.
Yeah, let them kick the tires for you on that power equipment, because you'll be glad that you did.
Get her tuned up.
Get her tuned up is right. So don't put that off.
No.
Don't procrastinate.
No. Don't Tony and Ernie it.
No. You know, sometimes I fall victim to that. Yeah, I just don't get to it.
Right.
Boy, you know, it's because I have a lot going on. I don't know about you. I mean, you're home every day, what, 11:30, 12, kicking back.
Nap time around noon.
Nap. Yeah, you do the nap. I'm not a napper.
You're not?
No. I don't have time to nap.
Oh, come on.
Think about it. You sleep 8 hours. Do you sleep 8 hours a day?
No, I don't.
No? Anyway, you know, to think that you sleep typically on average a third of your life is incredible. I can't comprehend that. That's really weird.
Really?
Think about it. If you live to be 60, you're probably going to, I mean,
hopefully a little longer.
Well, I mean, I'm just throwing this out there because of the math's easy.
Oh, you're trying to make it easy.
You know, you slept 20 years.
Wow.
That's hard to believe.
Yep.
And really, if you think about it, I can't, that makes life even shorter sometimes, right, when you think of it like that. Anyway,
our weeds and our plants have been sleeping all winter, and now they're about to wake up and cause problems.
Yes, they have. And we'll be honing in on that all in the upcoming weeks. You know, we're going to tell you things you need to do, think about. And we've gotten a lot of calls, excuse me, about the product that's like Preen, but better, in my opinion. It's a lot less expensive. That is High Yields Turf and Ornamental Weeded Grass Stopper. It's a great pre-emergent. 4 months protection. Put it down this month and then come back sometime in July and put it down again. Takes you into the fall season. You're not going to pull many weeds, if any at all. Very little, very little.
749 B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Tony, we have Kevin on the line from Batavia. Got a plumbing question for us. Uh-oh. What's going on, Kevin?
I was calling about my girlfriend has a house, and it's a pretty large house. It's a two-story with a full basement underneath it. So in the basement is washer and dryer, stationary tubs, half bath. First floor is full bath and, of course, kitchen. And then top floor is a full bath. And in the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, nothing's really changed as far as plumbing or the house or anything like that. But in the last 3 or 4 months, I've noticed that, especially on the first floor, so the bathroom in there, when you go to turn the water off, whether it be the sink or if you flush the toilet, I haven't noticed it with the shower, but you'll hear a whistle or a howl. And I know that plumbing will have that vent pipe to relieve the pressure correctly. And I think I'm correct on that one, kind of in the line, so to say. And you just hear this like quick, like a little something along those lines.
Right.
But it's not loud or anything, but boy, you definitely hear it, especially in that bathroom.
Sure.
Just curious as to, I thought maybe something started getting blocked. And so, you know, it's obviously less room.
So it's when you're turning the water on and off, correct?
Off. It's just when you turn it off. When it stops, you'll immediately get that quick little bit of a howl or a whistle.
Really interesting. I think sometimes you'll hear some of those things when some of the valves inside the handles themselves are wearing and not shutting that off entirely, completely like it should.
Okay.
But you know what? Hang in there, because we're going to see if we can get a hold of our friends at Herman Services.
Okay.
And can we put him on hold and try and get a hold of Jason or somebody?
What
do you have to share with that, Ernie?
I'll tell you what we'll do. You're absolutely right. I was thinking about that. Sounds a little bit like there might be air in the line somewhere and it's trying to escape. But Tony's right. It can be the wear on the valve and the faucet. Did I hear you correctly? You say you heard it mostly on the first floor?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But so, it sounds like you're hearing it from up above. I mean, it doesn't sound like it's right there, you know, in the room with you. So it sounds like it's in the line and further away.
And you did say it was when you flushed the toilet, correct?
Flush the toilet also.
Okay. So the first thing that comes to mind is those valves. How old is this plumbing and how old is the house, did you say?
Oh, 50, 60 years for sure.
Uh-huh.
So
I was just checking on this with our friend from Herman Services, and one of the things that he suggested is go to the top floor first and see if it's going on each floor. But you said you notice it on the first floor, but it sounds like it's from other floors. I'm just trying to get a better mental picture here.
And she had kind of quit using the second floor, especially over the winter. And so I just been noticing it more in the last few months here on the first floor.
Okay. So it sounds like it's a valve problem, which means some of those rubber bushings might be starting to wear out, and that's going to cause that. It's like a high-pitch squeal. What I'm going to ask you to do is hang on the line. We're going to get your phone number.
Okay.
And we're going to confirm this, but I think Tony hit the nail on the head. It sounds like it's a valve that's wearing out. Could cause greater problems later on. But then we're going to get our friend from Herman Services going to give you a call and get this narrowed down for you.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right, Kevin. Hang on the line. We're going to get your phone number, and then we'll get right back with you with our friend from Herman Services. Yeah, we'll
get a hold of Jason. You know what's interesting about that, Ernie, is that that particular situation, too, he mentioned that the one bathroom, they use it very little.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering, you know, there's that element of error, too, as it's seeping through.
Right. That was the first thing I thought of. Right.
But where you would turn on all the faucets and flush that air out.
Right.
And then turn them all back off, starting with the, you know, I don't know, the top
floor. Let the water escape from the top floor down.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And see if that doesn't kind of quiet that down. Because the only thing that's different is that he had mentioned that, in fact, the one bathroom they use very little.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes when that occurs, you know, there's kind of weird things that happen there. It all varies. I know mm-hmm. anytime I work on plumbing and I open something up and air gets in there in whatever shape, way, or fashion or form, you can tell things aren't what they should be. Yeah. So it's one of those things you gotta maybe troubleshoot a little bit.
It's one of those things where if you don't get it fixed, it's going to cause a bigger issue.
It could, or you start hearing that banging around. There's loud, yeah.
Those odd noises.
That happens. It really does. As a matter of fact, we did some plumbing work at the garden center. We have an apartment upstairs, and we redid the bathroom and worked on some of the plumbing with the shower and so forth. I noticed I had a little bit of that kind of a sound in it when you turn it on, but it was coming from a further distance, and you could still hear it up there around the hot water tank. So, you know, I tried to open up those lines. I don't notice it as much as I did,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's still there, and, you know, I'm going to check on that today.
Yeah. 7.9 B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, and, we have been talking about a lot of the water issues that we've had. We also want to make sure that you have all your gear set up and take the time to get to your locally owned garden center and get all your stuff ready. But as Tony mentioned, don't put anything down mulch-wise, too.
Nah, you want to refrain from that. Right. Allow things to dry out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still a lot of things that you can do, given the fact, you know, it might be a little mushy or a little wet in certain areas. And if it's not, you're able to get out there and do some things today or tomorrow, man, certainly do it. I'm going to see, you know, if I can trim out my ornamental grasses probably sometime tomorrow with today's sunshine and it being sunny and dry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that might allow me to get out on the lawn a little bit and do some work. But, you know, you need to be the determining factor if, in fact, you can get out on your lawn and, you know, you're not sinking into it or your landscape beds. If you're sinking into it, that's the indicator it's telling you get off, get out of there, step off, step back, right?
Right.
So, or bring Ernie over. If Ernie sinks, it's wet.
It's wet. 749 B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have to pause for a moment. When we come back,
we were talking about Rhizosphera with the blue spruce mm-hmm. and so forth. You know, what's happening with apple scab? Let's talk about that and some things that you can do as well. And whatever else surface or flows our way.
Mm-hmm. We'll be right back.
It's time to ask a pro with In and Around the House on B105.
Welcome back. Get it around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have our friend Bob from Bard Nursery on the line down at the Cincinnati Home and Garden Center Garden Show down at the Duke Energy Center. Hello, Bob.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How are things down there?
Did I win the $1,000 giveaway?
Well, yeah. Well, it's got to come from Tony. He's got all the money.
Oh, okay. So I'm not the winner.
There's Ernie again with that.
Tell us a little bit about the final weekend of the Cincinnati Home and Garden Show.
Well, it's hard to believe it's already here, first of all. But, you know, it's a great day. It's the longest day, I believe, of the show. It's open 10 to 9. So it's a great time to get down there. Still so much to see, so many people to talk to. And, you know, the sun's starting to come out the last few days. The river's going down. So it's time to start thinking spring and all those projects. So it's a great time to get down there.
Mm-hmm. We were talking a little bit about some of the great displays. And remember the young lady that stopped us and posed the questions about some, I guess, invasive weeds?
Bindweed.
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 B-I-N-D.
And we were talking about some of the preventative measures and stuff, but we also wanted to ask you about that hardscape display you had down there with the gigantic swing set.
Yeah, we actually built a giant swing bed, and it's actually the size of a twin XL, so it's room for many people, and well, all three of us were actually sitting on it.
Yeah.
You know, and being covered, you know, in a light rain, you could actually just sit out there and relax all day. And we put a little fire or a little patio by it with some big stones for seating. So you could actually have like a little outdoor fire pit area right by it if you wanted to. So, you know, we're pretty excited about the swing. It's been a big hit for the show. And, you know, I think it's definitely something that might end up in my backyard when the show's over.
I loved it. I thought it was awesome. We are one of those people that really enjoy that outside living space. And you guys did a fantastic job getting that all set up and spending some time with the people that come by. But
yeah, we enjoy it. It was fun. And, you know, outdoor living, we've talked about it on the show multiple times, but outdoor living is such a big thing right now. And anytime you can take something, you know, kind of from the indoors and take it out where you can relax and enjoy it either with, you know, special loved ones or friends, family, or maybe just yourself sitting out and relaxing for the day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, anytime you can kind of get that, you can kind of feel like you can take the daily stresses away. And, you know, that's something, you know, we try to do in our outdoor landscapes when people are looking for stuff like patios and fire pits. So,
perfect.
You know, it's a great place somebody can come down and maybe get some ideas to get them started this spring.
All right, Bob, we appreciate you taking a moment to give us a call, and we're going to encourage our listeners headed down there this weekend to stop by and say hello. Thanks again for giving us a call back.
Hey, it's good talking to you guys.
Happy see you, Bob.
Take day. Care. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And, Tony, we have Melissa on the line from Middletown. She has a question about killing morning glory.
Good morning, Melissa.
Yeah. Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
So, Dwan, hello, good morning to you. Tell us a little bit about what's plaguing you. You know, there's a number of different, there's thousands of species of vining plants that kind of been tagged with the morning glory name. And I want to ask you what these look like. What's plaguing you? What does it look like?
Honestly, to me, it looks like a petunia gone crazy. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what the bud to me looks most like.
Mm-hmm. Is it white?
And how I came about, obviously, finding out that their morning glory is they were beautiful in the mornings, and then in the rest of the day, they're just, you know, overtaking crazy vines.
Got it. Got it. So they have their various colors.
No, actually, they're only purple, only a dark violet purple.
And did you plant this years ago?
I did not. So we moved in, and we moved into a home, and they had, like, a little arbor area around our swimming pool and then another area where they had it.
Okay.
It just didn't work out with our landscaping, so we ended up trying to, like, take some of that away. And I thought, oh, this won't be hard, so I pulled it all down. I tried to get it by the roots the very first year.
Right.
And then, obviously, that didn't work for me. It's pretty, but it's not what we wanted
right.
in our landscaping area.
Right.
Just because we have kids around the pool, it was like collecting, you know, it just wasn't good for us.
Yeah. Well, the morning glory is kind of related to a family of plants. It's pretty tenacious. You know, it's the Ipomea. It's like it's related to the bindweed plant, which they are perennials. And the morning glory vine itself is typically an annual that reseeds itself.
Oh, but okay.
Bindweed typically comes back from rhizomes. You know, there's underground kind of storage structures, activity underneath there, like rhizomes, that it kind of goes back to the ground, and then it resurfaces in the spring when the ground temperatures start getting warm enough for it to take off. So we're talking about two different things here. Since yours are purple, typically bindweed that I've seen that I'm familiar with is white, and it has a real pointy heart-shaped type of leaf.
Uh-huh.
And it can grow crazy, and it can get pretty intricate.
Yeah, this leaf is very heart-shaped. The leaf is very much Hershey, but the flowers, like I said, are all purple.
Have you ever tried using any type of a pre-emergent?
Yes. So the very first year I try to pluck them up, pull them up. Then we decide, the next year it was it goes crazy and it will get on the fence and it'll get on other things and it just continues to go. So we took it all down. We did, Roundup. I can't remember what brand it was, the all kill. We took up everything around it. And then I used Preen. Then the next year we put down the landscape fabric.
Right.
And we've even done river rock and it still comes up through the river rock. It is popped through and, any little crevice of the landscape fabric is coming up and around.
Got it. When you would use Preen as a pre-emergent, when did you apply that?
I would do it in early spring. Probably wouldn't do it as early as now. Probably late April. Is it maybe too late?
That might be a little too late. But here's what I want to do. I want to do two things here. All right. Okay. Now, obviously it's aggressive, just as you described. And I'm trying to determine, I don't truly know if other forms of bindweed, the one I'm so familiar with that's most troublesome, that gives most homeowners a fit, is the one that's got the white bloom. But they're related. Yours that's with the purple... Right. Typically, it tells me I'm thinking more annual, okay? Unless there's a real hardy variety out there that I'm not even familiar with, which that could be that's purple. But anyhow, this is what we're going to do.
Okay.
I want you to use a product that contains Dimension.
Okay.
And that's High Yield's ornamental and turf weed and grass stopper.
Okay, tell me the name one more time.
It's High Yield.
Okay, yep.
Turf and ornamental weed and grass stopper.
Okay.
That's just like Preen, but it's better than Preen. It lasts longer than Preen. So what I want you to do in the next week or two, when you can get out there, I want you to apply that.
Okay.
You apply it on top of the mulch, not underneath it. You can apply it on underneath if you want, but if you mulch, put it on top too. It's a little overkill. But still, it's going to be effective.
Okay.
All right.
So the river rocks, I'll just, on that part, because we do have a part where it's mulch, and then we have part that are river rocks. I'll just kind of drop it in there as well.
In there as well. Yes.
Okay.
How big are those river rocks? How large are they?
They're probably the 3-inch ones. They're ones, but they're not pebbles either.
Okay. That should break. I would do a little heavier in there so it breaks down and it can work its way in between the stone.
Okay.
Because if they were larger stones, 6, 8, 9 inches, it would be tough for that to get underneath it. So let's use the product Dimension.
Okay.
And then anytime something starts to rear its ugly face and pop up, I want you to spray it with Kills-All.
Okay.
Kills-All is like Roundup, but I like Kills-All better.
Okay. Yeah.
And so let's see where we get from that standpoint. And let's see if we can knock this thing out. And then I also want you to come back later in the season and apply Dimension one more time.
Okay.
Sometime, let's see, if we do it mid-March, we got April, May, June, and July. Sometime mid-July.
Okay.
Okay? So we got all of our bases covered with a pre-emergent.
Yeah.
Use it accordingly. Go ahead.
I have photographs of it. I think I had posted before, on my Facebook page, help, what is this? So I could send you guys pictures too, just to kind of
explain
what it is.
So what we're going to do, we're going to go after this from a pre-emergent standpoint for anything that's seed related to this. If in fact it's seed related. So maybe you doing it late in April, by that time, the ground temperatures have warmed up well enough for activity for things to germinate.
Right.
So right now you don't see any of that stuff, do you?
No.
Okay.
No.
If you were to maybe even just go out there in some areas that remotely you know where it might be and just look underneath the mulch and see if you make sure there's no rhizomes or stolons or anything underground, how the hardy variety, that's how it takes off and multiplies.
Okay.
So let's do that. Stay in touch with me.
I will, for sure.
And then I think we can go after it and knock it out.
All right. Well, that would be great because it's beautiful, but it's a pest. So thank you.
Yeah, and if we need to use anything stronger by chance, then we might come at it with a little Teflon ester.
Okay.
That has triclopyr in it, but when we get to that bridge, we'll cross it then.
Okay. Well, I will keep you guys updated. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Have to pause for a moment, but when we come back.
I have some things I want to add to that, too, because I did not ask her, are there other desirables when she sprays that's in those beds? I just want to touch on that, too.
Okay. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And Melissa raised a couple of great questions about killing that morning glory and getting rid of some nuisance plants.
It's tough. I mean, it takes a little bit of work. There's no doubt about it. It takes some work. And, you know, trying to really, morning glory is a little different than bindweed, and both of them can be tough. And it's just being proactive and staying after it. And most importantly, we were talking about some of the winter annual weeds. This is another approach. Keep things from blooming.
Mm-hmm.
Because, therefore, you know, when things go into bloom, they typically set seed. And we're trying to stop that whole process, that whole cycle. But, it takes some pulling. It may take a couple of years. It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
But she needs to stay with it. But what I really want to point out as well, when we talk about spraying some of the non-selective herbicides, beware, take caution that you don't get any overspray on other things in and around those areas.
How's the best way to do that?
Well, sometimes you can take a large piece of cardboard,
mm-hmm.
put it up next to a plant that you don't want any overspray on, and spray. Some people will take a 2-liter bottle Coke, plastic liter, the top of it, Ernie.
Mm-hmm.
They'll cut part of it off, and then they'll take it, make like a little funnel or a shield, and put over their spray bottle at the end.
Oh.
So it keeps it contained in one spot without it spreading outward.
Good idea. Yeah.
If it's close to something and it's vining up a particular plant,
mm-hmm.
what you can do, you know, there's little paintbrushes that are foam.
Mm-hmm.
You can mix your solution up in a container, like a bucket. Obviously, you need to wear nice, heavy, thick gloves so you don't get anything on your hands. Dip that in there and just paint it on the leaf.
As a matter of fact, that was a part of the advice that we gave Paige when we talked to her at the Cincinnati
Home. Use a sponge, anything like that. And then, therefore, you're not getting any drift or overspray on what we call your desirables.
Mm-hmm.
So hang in there with it. You know, like I said, sometimes you just, every time it's best to control those kind of things. And it's like even just regular, like your English ivy. The more tender that new growth is, when you spray it, when it's in that stage, the more effective that the products are. It's got to be actively growing. The younger, tender growth in that stage makes it more vulnerable. And when you stay with it, you eventually will eradicate it by pulling, killing the new growth, and preventing seed from germinating. It's a combination effort.
Sure it is. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Great way to stay connected with us. And it's been pretty active this morning is our Facebook page. We've had a lot of pictures posted and questions asked about that. And matter of fact, we did get a thank you back from Jesse Allgaier-Finke, who was talking about the information we gave her about the box elder bugs you were talking about. Thanks for the information. Very helpful. You guys are great. Would Jesse, do us a favor. When you get to work on Monday, take a couple of photos just to make certain that we've identified that correctly and then post them on our Facebook page. We'll take a look at that.
It sounds like the box elder. The body almost mimics that of a lightning bug,
mm-hmm.
firefly, but it also has markings on it that are kind of orangish or reddish in color that easily distinguish that and, you know, IDs it correctly.
Okay. What else you want to talk about?
Well, before we went into the break, the one might have been two breaks ago, but we had talked about, you know, damp springs and so forth. Mm-hmm. You know, we typically see a lot of rains, especially in April. April showers bring May flowers.
I've heard that.
And we were talking about, you know, the needle cast disease and so forth. And I also want to touch on, you know, people who have crab apple trees or apple fruiting trees. You know, a lot of times they run into issues with scab. And this is a type of disease, you know, it afflicts these particular species of trees.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be proactive when you're trying to prevent some of these things. A few years ago, Tim Back, he stopped out at my house. He injected my tree in the fall, my crab apple tree. I was having some apple scab issues with it, and it seemed to knock it out. So it's been a lot healthier and happier since Tim treated it. Maybe I should have him do it again. But you as a homeowner, you can also help alleviate some of these problems, and that's using a product called Mancozeb. It's a wonderful fungicide. And what's really important is it's when you apply these products, it's when you spray these products. Most of these diseases, they get into the plant at various points when the buds are swelling open. So if you were to go out to the website, excuse me, there's that cough I don't want to lose. I'm sorry. But if you go out to, if you go out onto Google and Google ID-21 University of Kentucky. What are you laughing about?
Tina's going to tell you about this one. If you go out to the Google.
No.
Like go, it's a go, place.
Go on the web. Well, I'm sorry. Go to the website. Google ID-21. Thank you. University of Kentucky.
Yeah.
Well, I'm more concerned about this cough, so I'm sorry.
So are we. We're worried about
it. I tell you what, it's bad. I don't know if it's TB or what. I don't know what's plaguing me.
I got a little something-something out in the truck might help
you. No, I'm not going to do that. But anyway,
might not clear it up, but you won't care.
Google ID-21, and that's going to be a publication at University of Kentucky, Disease and Insect Control Programs for Homegrown Fruit in Kentucky.
Okay.
What's really good about this particular publication, the very back of it, it shows you what stages that these plants or that these trees are in and when you spray.
Okay.
So, for example, we're talking about apple trees. When you spray at the silver tip stage, what does it look like? When you spray at the green tip stage or half inch green or when it's in bloom, you got to spray at various points in time to keep those diseases from getting into the plant.
Gotcha.
And once you do that, you're very effective. And Mancozeb is a great product to use. You need a spray. You need a tank sprayer for this.
Yeah. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We'll post that link up on our Facebook page so you won't have to go out to the Google.
Go out and Google. Okay.
We need to pause for a moment.
I'll take it.
We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys.
And out to the Google.
Out to the Google. Go out to the Google.
Go out to the shack. To the Google.
Tony, we have Brad on the line from Union who's got a question. His green arborvita is it's giant, but it's turning brown. Is that right, Brad?
Yeah, that's right. I'm standing out here looking at him. And my yard has a bit of a slope to it. It looks like they cut a minor swale. So at the top of the swale, I planted all these, 15 of them, probably last October.
Okay.
And they're slowly turning brown at the tips and top. So I don't know if they're getting too much water or not enough water. Or, you know, I thought I did everything right.
It shouldn't be a water issue, that's for sure. And hopefully it's not too much. Let's talk about a couple other things. The first being, do you know the variety? Is it a real narrow? Are they to get like roughly 8 to 14 feet, about 2 to 3 feet in width? Or are they the Western arborvitae that get quite large?
These are the ones that I think I was told are supposed to get like 30 feet tall.
Okay, so they're sound like they're probably Western arborvitae, like Green Giant?
Yeah, I'm reading the tag on it, arborvitae Green Giant.
Okay. Well, typically it's not uncommon. Now, we've had a cold winter, and again, you planted these late in the season. Were they in containers or were they bald and burlapped?
They were in containers.
Okay,
they were,
that's
like,
good.
15-gallon.
Okay, so they're pretty good size. And yeah. It's not uncommon to see a little bit of wind burn or winter burn. You know, kind of a bronzy color.
Yeah, that's it.
So, you know, that's kind of like their winter coat, their winter sheen sometimes. As they get older, you might notice a little less of that or maybe a little more. So really, at this point in time, it's hard to say, you know, what we really truly have going on. Certainly, I don't think it's a lack of moisture. They probably have ample, as long as they're not sitting in water. And let's just allow them to, you know, some more time. And do me a favor. And about end of April, going into May, middle of May, you call up and yeah. tell us where they are. Because it's not uncommon to see a little bit of winter burn, a little bit of bronzing.
Okay, will do. Well, I feel better about it. I was worried.
Yeah.
Spent the whole tax return on these.
Well, that's a good return right there on your investment.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right, well,
just stay connected with us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hi, Rowan.
All right. Thank you. 7.9 B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Beautiful weather outside. Get to your locally owned garden center.
It'd be a great weekend to check out what's going on, what's coming in new, and more so and even better. Pick up your 3-step lawn plus program from Fertiloom. Have it on deck. Be ready to go at it when you get the opportunity. Have a great weekend. Ernie and I see you next week. Right, Ernie? You're in.
We're
full force.
Yep. We'll be back.